Hello and welcome to the Ex-Military Careers Podcast. This series brings together market-leading experts, veterans and ex-military personnel for empowering discussions, covering topics from diversity to innovation, giving you up-to-date industry insights. EMC is a social enterprise with a mission to support veterans across the UK and the US throughout the entirety of their transition and civilian careers. At Ex-Military Careers, inclusion is the norm and not the exception. I'm your host, Ellis Greenway, ex-Royal Marine and lead here at Ex-Military Careers, part of Trinovo Group. This is episode 7. Today, we're joined by Chris Reeves, who I know as Scouse, a friend of mine from our rugby days where he was my coach. He's completed 22 years in the Royal Navy and is going through his transition. He's setting up his own business centered around performance coaching, and he's setting up some amazing initiatives to support with mental health, such as Win the Morning, Win the Day. So happy listening. Enjoy. Chris, thanks for joining me on the Ex-Military Careers Podcast. Just for everyone's benefit, can you give us a bit of an intro to yourself and let us know a little bit more about you?
Yeah, my name's Chris Reeves. I'm still currently serving. I'm in my last 9 months of service. I'm a petty officer physical trainer by trade. Just coming up to my 22-year mark in the Navy and with the PT branch. No one's getting extensions at the moment, so it's time done for me next year. As I say, background, I was an operating mechanic underwater warfare when I first joined. You couldn't join as a PTI back in the day. Well, you can join direct now. But I always knew the PTI thing was for me. Loved all my sport. Obviously, Ellis, you know, played rugby for me. Really nice to coach you and gained a great friend and a good bloke out of that, mate. And yeah, I think my passion was always in coaching. I was an okay player in most of the sports that I played. Football, rugby league, basketball, believe it or not, at 5'7", even represented the Navy of basketball, which was crazy. I think my skill set was always in the coaching world. And then I went into coaching with the rugby league, Navy Rugby League. It's something that when I went down that avenue, Wayne O'Kell was on at me. Warrant Officer Wayne O'Kell, he's outside now. He was on at me saying, you know, what are you reading at the minute? And I was like, nothing. Sky News. Sky Sports News. And he's like, yeah, but you know what? And he's the first person to really make me like look at myself and why I'm coaching and how I'm coaching and how people learn and why people learn. And it really got me. I think the first book that I ever got given by Wayne was a book called Still Power. And that was me then, sort of on the development chain. Such at the age of like 29, 30, really. Yeah, so for those of you who don't know, Wayne O'Kelly was the guy who introduced rugby league to the Royal Navy. He was told that it would never, ever take off. And for all his efforts and enthusiasm and dedication, he was awarded the MBE for it. So it's all thanks down to him, why we are where we are with Navy Rugby League at the moment.
Yeah, for anyone who didn't know that, that's where mine and Chris's relationship started. Me as a first-time rugby league player, converted from rugby union, taken under the wing of it and had no idea where I was even standing on a pitch and getting shouted out because I was in the wrong place all the time. And definitely needed that coaching aspect, which plays a big part into what we're going to discuss in a bit. But how are you finding it then, obviously, with the what can be something quite daunting for service leavers moving into that transition? How are you dealing with all that right now?
A lot of people say I don't like the word institutionalised, but I haven't really got a problem with it. You know, at the age of 17 and a half, I went away from home, got told where to be, when to be, how to be, what to wear. And I've had that done to me the last 22 years. And dental appointments, doctors, taxes, stuff like that. You know, it's all stuff I've got to learn now at the age of 39, you know, 40 next year when I leave. I think the transition, for me, I'm excited about what I can offer the civilian world and what I can offer different businesses and different teams I work with. I am nervous. Of course, I'm nervous. I think if anyone says after such a long period of time that they're not nervous, I think they may be telling porkies. Mm. For me, it's the unknown. Because this is all I have known. And again, I'll mention Wayno again. Yeah, I think a lot of people have said, you know, it'll be really good the what you've set up and stuff like that. I'm sure we'll talk about that later. But Wayno sent me a message saying, mate, you will fail. You will hit stumbling blocks. You will take shots that you miss. But this is where the magic happens. This is where you learn and you go back again and you go again. It's like fail means first attempt in learning, you know, and it was so true. And I've screenshotted the message actually, because I just thought to myself, you know, he hasn't fluffed it up. He said, it is difficult out here. It is dog eat dog in certain places. You have to roll your sleeves up. He said, roll your sleeves up, be tenacious, stay committed, stay on top and you know, you will come out with some success, but be prepared to fail. And it's been the best bit of advice that I've been given since transitions going on. It's, I feel at the minute, in my opinion, and if this ruffles feathers, that's absolutely fine. I don't think that the armed forces do enough for people leaving, especially after a certain amount of time, a long period of time. Mm-hmm. I personally think that you should have an assigned sort of coach, mentor, yeah, where you're like, okay, where are you now? We have check-ins every month. Okay, did you book that course? What about this? Have you thought about this option? You know, you're doing project management. There's an agile course. There's a change management. There's the et cetera, et cetera. Because I don't know nothing about the outside world, really. I don't know that there's, well, I do now. I know there's one more than one project manager. There's more than a Prince too. I know there's agile. I know there's change. But some people don't. And unless you go and look, which people are going to look. But I just think there should, I think in my opinion, there should be a better process in place where you are actually coached about leaving and how you're going to leave and what you're going to do. Because that day when you land in that car and it gets cut in half, it's you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I couldn't agree more, mate. You know, a lot of the chats that I've had recently with other people are going through the exact same thing. And a lot of it boils down to a lack of exposure to the outside world, the civilian world. And the real shame in that is that so many service leavers have got these amazing sets of skills. Even just one example of project management. Anyone who's an NCO officer, they're already project managers. They just don't even realize it yet. But they don't know how to articulate that into the civilian world. So couldn't agree more in terms of having, you know, that coaching piece in place. And the overwhelming idea backs that up, that there isn't enough support there. There's no real world authenticity to what it's actually like. It's almost like we'll show you a few jobs that you could consider, you know, the typical routes that people go down. And for myself with the Royal Marines, a lot of people look at, you know, personal training because I've done fitness, so I could be a personal trainer, or I've held a rifle before, so do I go into some form of security? But there's just so many options out there, which there's a massive lack of exposure to.
And one thing, Alice, if you don't mind me jumping in, Alice, I think there needs to be more coaching through your transition to go out, a one-on-one mentorship, coaching scenario, so you'd have a check-in like once a month to say, you know, where are you? Okay, so, you know, I've talked to you about this. The three questions I've ever always asked people who've worked for me or come to me with ideas is what, how, and when. Okay, so what do you want to do? Okay, good, you want to go on your, we'll say project management because we've just used that. Okay, great, you want to do your Prince 2 course. Okay, how are you going to do it? Well, I'm going to book it online. I'm going to use me learning credits for it. Okay, when are you going to do it? I'll do it soon. Well, no, you're not doing it. Tell me when you're going to do it. There's none of that. It doesn't seem to be that. Now, you could turn around and go, well, you're a 39-year-old adult. Yeah, I am a 39-year-old adult, and I am booking courses myself. But what I'm saying is, there's been a 22-year service for your country, and you've served all over the world and done X, Y, and Z. What, you're just going to go away? Or no, are you going to actually look after these people who've given so much time up for their family, their loved ones, to go all around the world and put themselves in danger? You know, they deserve it. They deserve that resettlement package, and it should be better. The hands-on coaching.
Yeah, agreed. And it's interesting. I spoke with some people across the pond, and sure, you worked with our US counterparts quite a lot over a couple of decades, and it seems as though their process that's in place is a lot more established, and what we take some learning points from. Like I say, my exposure was very little to it. I looked on the process that we all go through, and looking on their jobs board and the kind of things that they had advertised, and it was an immediate sense of I'm selling myself short here with these options. I think no one's naive to the fact that you're going into a new career and you've got to learn something new. But I think a lot of people, rightly so, come out with a positive mindset and a set of skills that they're proud of and they can absolutely take into the wider world. And, you know, seeing the opportunities only kind of limited as learning and like only a new trade, or you can't go in at a higher level, you can't keep a higher salary that you've managed to build up over the years. And those options are there. And even speaking about project management, before I left, I didn't even know what that was. I didn't even know that was a whole other role. So that exposure definitely needs, you know, it needs more exposure. And that's what we're trying to do over here. in terms of ex-military careers is create that exposure to everyone who's leaving. The opportunities are out there by, you know, making these partners. And I think if you put that together, the exposure piece with, you know, companies who understand veterans and value veterans, and you align that with a coach who can take you through that process, you know, that's setting someone up for success. It's the right person in the right place with the right mindset and the right tools. And the chances of that failing compared to what you were saying there about, you know, just letting someone go, and your chances of success in like doing it that way are going to be significantly higher, aren't they?
And I think as well, what I think about is, I won't use the proper English that I normally use for this. I'll turn it in a little bit. It's very difficult to get sacked from the armed forces. Mm-hmm. If you go around chinning people, you're probably going to get sacked. If you take drugs, you're probably going to get sacked. Other than that, you can be, if me and you are POPTs, you would never make it as a POPT, by the way, Alice. But if me and you were the POPTs, right? If you are just the dregs of the PT branch, yeah, right? And I'm the creme de la creme, citations, CO's awards, guess what? We still get paid the same, which is mad, because if you're doing rubbish at work and I'm doing great at your work, you might maybe going to get sacked or I might get a promotion. Mm-hmm. And what the way I look at it is, sometimes people don't get promoted because the face doesn't fit or they're not willing to be the yes man or whatever, or you just might not be really good at your job, or a bit of both. But I think a lot of people are in the forces and they don't understand that the skill set they got is massive and the potential they've got. And if it's just unraveled a little bit by a coach, a good coach or a mentor, you know, you could be anything. And, you know, I've said this before to you, you can be anything you want in life and you can have anything you want within a realistic reason, but you've got to work hard at it. You know, I, if you turn around and go, Chris, I want to make this podcast, I want to have 1 million followers in 3 years, you know, is that a realistic target? It could be, but you have to work hard for me. I've just been to see my Uncle David today. He's been doing 12 hours in his new shop, 12 hours a day for the last 20 days. He's 60 now, my Uncle David. But I said to him, it's never crowded on the extra mile. It's never crowded on the extra mile. If you're sat at home only doing your 6 hour day and going, well, that new shop needs doing, no one's coming to do it for you.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many people with so much potential in the armed forces who maybe think outside the box and you just want to get the job done and go home. But they've got so much, but I think in general the skill set of your Marines and your sailors and your army lads and RAF lads and girls leaving, I don't think a lot of them understand how good they actually are.
Yeah, I completely agree, mate. And coming back to that sense of security as well, with, you know, how secure that the armed forces is, that's something that I think is huge in terms of the transition. You know, when you know how secure your role is, and then you're facing things like a pandemic, where you're seen as economic crisis as well. It's like, you know, anyone would be mad to leave now. I remember being on some of the camps that we were at where people were saying, "Oh, you know, rugby league's going to be really good for a few years because no one's going to leave in their right mind, so we're going to have a good team for a bit." You know, that sense of security can stop people, and mixed in with not understanding your skill set, and then potentially employers as well who don't. They might not have veterans in there. They might not see what we're capable of. So it's like unraveling this all, exposing it all, and then hopefully putting it all together. Like that's effectively what we want to achieve and what we're discussing. Quite a big, you know, element of this is the mental health piece. And it's a huge part that's gaining a lot of traction now, rightly so, and developing, you know, loss of the stigma that's surrounding it. I know it's something that we've discussed a lot of times and something that's massively close to your heart as well as mine, but do you want to, if you're, you know, comfortable, like we spoke before, just take us through a bit of your mental health journey and where you're at now and things you've been through?
Yeah, I think I was actually having this conversation today. I bumped into Beefy, the director of rugby for Navy Rugby League. I bumped into him today and I said, I'm like, I think you know Ellis, I've always been an extrovert, PTI, out front, blah, blah, blah. Love to make people laugh. Like to be the center of attention to an extent. And I've said to Beefy, I'm quite an introvert, extrovert now. I spend a lot of time on my own, which is I'm totally happy with. Dangerous, though. You do spend a lot of time on your own and you get really comfortable with it. You don't want anyone coming to disturb your peace. But being an extrovert, you know, I'd always have highs and lows, and I always look at Robin Williams, Jim Carrey. I'm not saying I'm as funny as them, definitely some signs there that I was like that. I always considered myself a manic depressant, to be honest with you. You know, highs and lows, I'd be like buzzing, flying, but when I was low, I was really low. It's like a roller coaster, you know. Yeah, he's dead high. He's like, yeah, he's fun to me. Everyone laughing. And then it's just got to come down, you know. And then when I had my lows, I just couldn't shake it. And I never knew what was the matter with me. I'd just be like, if I was like Amy, my ex-wife, I'd just say, just leave me be for a couple of days. Let me ride it out. And I never, ever knew what it was. Never knew what it was. And I always was just like, and then you go, oh, it's all right. I'll be all right. The weekend, I'm out with the lads, or I'm out doing this, and on the RAS, you know what I mean? And then I never really thought of it too much. And then, there's a thing that Robin Williams talked about, and he said, this guy goes to doctors and he says, look, I'm really down. I can't find happiness. I can't smile. I've tried everything. I just cannot smile. The doctor says, I've got the perfect solution for you. He went, get into town tonight. He went, the great comedian and clown Puccellini's on. He will make you laugh. He'll make your night. The fellow just drops his head and he goes, I am Puccellini. And he like, I used to like get such a lump in my throat when I told that story, because that was me. You know, that was like, you know, I'm PTI, like everyone's used to me being funny around the rugby camp and whatever, taking a mickey out of someone, just going, well, now look at Ellis and Sibbies, you know, whatever, this and that. It was always your Sibbies. But, you know, it was that face I had to put on. I had to go on stage and I had to put that face on. And because I never visited it for years, I was like, yeah, it's just me low, innit? You know, and I'll just put my face on and I'll go and have a bevy and this guy, yeah, blah, blah, blah. And then the low would be lower. Because I don't know whether you know the story about the pea and the princess. This princess has got a mattress, but she's got this really hard pea underneath the mattress. So she's just like, oh, so she puts another mattress on top. She's like, oh, that's nice. It feels nice. And a couple of weeks later, the feels it again, puts another mattress on. A couple of weeks later, so on and so on and so on. All of a sudden, she's got a stack full of mattresses. And what happens when you stack a load of mattresses up? Not that I've done it, but it falls over. And that's when, you know, instead of just removing the pee, which is the sensible thing to do. And when you think about the analogy, I knew there was something not quite right there, but I was putting the mattresses on. Yeah, I'll be fine. I'm on the ale this weekend. I'm playing rugby this weekend. I'm coaching and doing this. And it was all more mattresses putting on. And then all of a sudden, 3 years ago, I got to a point where I just couldn't get out of the low was so low and I couldn't shake it. And I did get to the point where I did plan to take my own life, to the point where I even knew who was going to find me. I actually told him about a year ago that I wanted him to find me, and he went mad at me and he said, I don't know if I can swear on here, but he's a bastard. And I wouldn't, and he nearly filled me in when I told him. But I'm quite comfortable talking about that now, because it doesn't even seem like it was me. I left my wife at the time. I was moved on board and I was like, look, this isn't working. I didn't feel anything like for. I didn't feel anything for me. And for me, I was in a position where when we talk about suicide, and I know lots of people got views on it, but I can only tell you my view, because I was in a suicidal phase where I'd planned where I was going to do it, how I was going to do it, who was going to find me. I just didn't know when. Which was the final piece of the jigsaw, really. And obviously, thankfully, I never got to that point. But it was the best thing in the world for everyone. It was the most selfless act I could think of, selfless, because I knew I'll let Lola down later in life. I'll just hurt someone else. So just to give a bit of back, I left Amy, my ex-wife, and I had a lot of guilt inside me. I'd have an affair behind her back. I never told her, and I left it. It just ate me up. There's other things in my life which looked into since with psychiatrists and stuff, which has caused my depression. But we might talk about that another day. But for me, I was just like, I'll just hurt someone else. I'll just be a grump. I'll just be grumpy like this, and I could not. For the life of me, and I mean this, and I feel like I'm weird talking about this, it feels like I'm not even talking about me. I couldn't for the life of me see another way out. It was the only way. It was just a matter of when. I know where and how and who's going to find, but I just didn't know when. And I was nearly there, and I told someone, and obviously I was a mess. I was a real bad mess, and just it's hard to even like talk about it now, to be honest with you. It's like I'm talking about someone else, you know what I mean? Like, I thought, yeah, I love life. I'm really content and happy in life right now. But yeah, then I remember talking to a guy who's probably one of my oldest friends in the Navy, a guy called John Murray. He's an officer now, actually. He was a warrant officer, and he was an officer, and he bought me a book called The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle. And I always say that that book saved my life. It was about being in the now. When you're in the now, I'm totally present in the now. Call that meditation, mindfulness, whatever. You don't think about your car being broke, the kids doing your head in, your husband's doing your head in, your wife's doing your head. I've got that example. It's just being in the now. It's just being here, watching the trees move. Sound like a hippie. Watching this, listening. It really, really, really changed my life. Yeah, I think the year after that, COVID hit, and then I was really not coping well. I was under the Defence Centre of Mental Health. I was under a psychiatrist there, and he was really good. He gave me the pre and the princess analogy, and we've got the pee out of under my mattress, which I'm not comfortable talking about today. It was life changing. And for me, I look at people who it's hard. I remember Win the Morning, Win the Day. I remember I put a video on from Win the Morning, Win the Day, but I was off work. I was signed off work. You know, I was in a bad place with my mental health. And someone was reported to my boss that I'd been online posting videos of Win the Morning, Win the Day. And I was like, my boss at Warrant Officer, Don Chiora, what a great, great man. Really been such a pivotal part of my acceleration through life over the last sort of year. He's been understanding. He's, you know, talked straight with me. He's been great. And I actually had a go at him. I said, that is bang out of order. And I went, whoever's reported that to you, and I had my idea who it was, I said, they have absolutely no clue the unhuman effort I had to go through to get out of bed that day and get down there, put me fucking smiley face on, and do that for other people. I said, they have no clue about that. They just see, oh, he's put a video on of people jumping in the sea in the morning, and think that I'm like on my holidays. And I said, I've been in my house for 3 months with the curtains closed because I didn't want to see anyone. And then that one day I went and I was like, how dare that person do that? I said, they have never ever suffered with mental health ever. I promise you that.
Yeah, it comes back to all these stigmas that we're still trying to get over, and really the value and the equal detriment of having the amazing people who are their support network, and then the people who just still don't seem to understand. And obviously we've got to find ways to bridge that gap and win the morning, win the day. What an amazing initiative. So touched on it there. Do you want to just kind of give us a bit of light about what that is and what you get up to and really how far it's grown now?
Yeah, so we've just hit the 2-year mark. I come home. It was a guy called Wayne Godwin. So everyone was in lockdown. This guy called Wayne Godwin, ex-professional rugby league player. He was doing his morning workouts in his garden, and he was like, win the morning, win the day. And I was like, I love that. I absolutely love that. And I messaged him and I said, mate, I'm robbing that saying, and I love it. He's like, yeah, he got it off of Jesse Senlafeu, who was playing for Cass at the time. Anyway, comes up to Liverpool, visiting family. It's one of the first times you could like leave your house or city, whatever it was. And I come up to Liverpool seeing family. Anyway, my best mate, John Martin, he turned around and he said, oh, this saying. He went, oh, mate, you want to listen to this podcast called The Leggett Podcast? A guy called Andy Grant, he was in the Royal Marines, he got blew up. And in Liverpool, if someone goes, oh, yeah, lend some money, you go, oh, Leggett. Means like, do one. He lost the leg and then he made a podcast called Leggett, which is great. And he's, you might have seen his book. He's got a book called, he's a big Liverpool fan, obviously, our saying is, you'll never walk alone. His tattoo says, you'll never walk. And where they've cut his leg off, you'll have to Google it. It's really good. So we had a guy called Mark Scano on, and he was talking about, you know, winning your morning, winning your day, how getting your routines right. And he was like, you know, if you see someone who's inspiring you, he said, speak to them. because what's the worst he can do? Tell you to go away, or they could go, yeah, this is how I've done it. And they were doing these ultimate warm mornings down Crosby, getting everyone exercise, jumping in the sea. So I messaged Mark, we've become friends since. And I said, I want to do something like this down south. He went, mate, it'd be great to do that. The world needs stuff like this. So went down south. Dan Turner, who runs Bootcamp UK, said, look, set this Instagram up, set this Facebook page up. So we've done it at 5 in the morning on the Friday. We had 60 or 70 people there the first week at 5 in the morning. Week after, we had about 120. And then a couple of people who couldn't make it, they were doing it over somewhere else and FaceTiming me. And then Freddie was running it in Southsea over the water because I was doing it in Gosport. And he was saying, I said, mate, you're doing it every week on FaceTime. Why don't you just run it? One over there. And he's like, oh, I'm not as confident as you. I went, you don't have to be confident. Just turn up and walk and jump in the sea. And Freddie's still going in Southsea. So we've got one in Southsea. And then Dan Appleby set one up, Hayland Islands, one in Poole, one in Surrey. And then the next thing, it was just BBC come down and filmed it. The Guardian newspaper. And then all of a sudden I was getting phone calls and messages from around the world. And I mean, like around the world, like some doctor said, can you come on the radio station? It's national radio in the USA and I'll interview you. And I was like, well, they won't have a clue what I'm saying with my accent. But I was like, yes, I'm right. So went on there, it's on national radio in Australia, which was great. Done like some interviews and wrote articles for different websites and done talks in different sorts. I didn't really realise sort of that I had a story, do you know what I mean? And one of the things, if I go in and someone like gets me to do a talk, what I do is, actually I don't want to spoil it, but what I do is I sort of put out like a 30-second video of someone diving out of an aeroplane, someone in battle in Afghan, someone like getting stretched somewhere, and you know, so someone thinks it's me, like, and then I'll go, how amazing is all that? And you're like, oh yeah, you must. And I go, well, I've done none of that, just because. And I just want to sort of get the message to people that you don't have to go through anything like that to suffer with mental health. Do you know what I mean? Because some, again, when we talk about breaking the stigma down, people can think, well, you know, I've got everything, but I feel down. You can still feel bad. Do you know what I mean? So, yeah, going back to win the morning, win the day, and I'll finish up now. I've actually had a call last week off a lady who wants to set one up in Athens, in Greece, which is crazy. We've got them in South Africa, Vienna. Yeah, mate, it's mad that people do it all over the world. And yeah, just off a little idea, and it really helps people, mate. And I think it really helps me. And it helps people, you know, people connect and people reconnect with people, connect with nature, step outside the comfort zone, meet new people. And it's great and it's free. You know, it's cool, mate. It's really good.
Yeah, some big aspects there in there, just networking, just the basics of speaking to people, just having a chat and getting out in the sticks, getting out in nature, getting out in the water and the cold, and just little things there which can, you know, that things you can easily accommodate into your everyday life that can make a massive difference. And just before we move on, I think you told me a little story, didn't you, about someone who dropped you a message about how important it was to them, just the genuine effect it has. So what was that message again that you got?
Well, mate, I don't ever post anything that I get. I just think that's private between me and them. But I've had so many messages of people going like this, thanks for setting this up, this has changed my life. And it's just like, you know, I know there's some people who it's changed their life because they've met new people. I know people who have contacted me direct and like I've spent time with them and they're now in the rhythm of getting down there every weekend. I've got a few people who've said, you know, it's saved their life. They were going through a bad time. There was a woman who'd never been in the sea before, and this year she swam the Bournemouth peer-to-peer swim. You know, it's little things like that. And even for me, you know, I'm outside my comfort zone doing stuff on social media and, you know, getting my ugly grid on social media, doing videos. That is outside my comfort zone. And, you know, you think, you know, where am I going with it? What am I doing? And I just, and then all of a sudden you'll get a message to say, I've been going through a breakup lately, or my mum died and this, that. And your posts have really helped me every day. And I just go, that is all I need. Do you remember we talked about the starfish story? So it's like, you know, it's if you help one person, you know, you've had an effect on one person, it's the job done. On you're not every post that goes out, every video or motivational post as such, you know, I don't want every person in the world to like it, because that's not how the world works. Some people will go, oh, that's he's a knobhead, unfollow him. That sounds, you know, I'm not here to please everyone, but if it can affect one person every day, then that's the job done.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, it comes back to that, you know, one conversation that you had at your lowest point, which was potentially enough to turn something around, and thank God it did. And you know, you don't know how far this can go. You know, there could be dozens of people out there who just seeing this being part of it that you'll never know, because we know that a lot of people with these issues don't like to talk about them, but it's genuinely changing people's lives, which is amazing. We couldn't really ask for more, could we? So hats off to you, mate.
Cheers, mate.
And hopefully getting one with our office in London, which is on the schedule fairly soon.
You don't even know, mate. I've made inquiries already, and I'm being serious. My mate Paz does it up there. Yeah, he's working in London at the minute. And as soon as I got off the call with you last week, I was on to him. So don't you worry. Yous will all be down there in your speedos and armbands. Next time I'm in London, I'd like to make that a monthly thing with you. But I'm sure we'll talk about that offline.
Yeah, amazing. Something we'll definitely put in place. I'm sure everyone will get all the videos and the follow-up from it off the bat.
Good stuff.
Chris, moving on, good bit of advice I'm wanting to get out of you. If you could look back to younger Scouse, be it 10 years ago or a few years ago, what advice would you give?
Probably be to reflect more, be more self-aware and have a higher level of emotional intelligence and learn how to develop that. I think it's tough because I don't know whether we've talked about this. When you're a teenager as a lad, it's all about being a lad and girls always talk. And then when you're in your 20s, it's all about being a lad, playing sport, doing this, doing that with this girl, blah, 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 doing, you know what I mean? It's just alpha male stuff. And girls are talking, and girls are talking about how they're feeling. And then when you're in your 30s, you start slowing down a bit and going, oh, what is that little thing there? You know, that feeling. And then because it's a habit that you don't talk, you don't know how to turn down to, well, like let's say I'm with you and I go, Ellis, have you got a second to talk about my feelings? Well, which we, you know, I am being facetious with that, but you know, we don't know how to do it because you've formed so much of a habit over the years of going, yeah, what's up? Are you feeling down? You know what I'll do? Yeah. Let's get out on the Raz. Yeah, nice one. Well done for that. Let's put a depressant in you. You know, and that's what we've done. And it just becomes habitual that we don't talk. And then when you do want to start talking in your 30s, you know, you don't really know how to. So if there's anyone who's younger than me, you know, and they're thinking about this, then just be comfortable, like being, you know, creating environments for yourself to talk, you know, bringing up these things with your mates. And you know, Mark Scano in that podcast, he says, you know, if you knock around with 9 knobheads, don't be surprised if you become the 10th knobhead. You know, and it's you're a product of your environment. So if you're looking around and you've got no one to talk to, you know, you probably need to change and look at your circle. So I'd say, you know, so if you're asking for advice, it'd be more self-aware, learn how to be more self-aware, create your own environment, you know, to thrive. And another thing, going backwards a little bit, Ellis, is leaving the forces as well. Again, if you knock around with 9 millionaires, you'll become the 10th millionaire. Leaving the forces, when most of your friends are forces, and I want to set my own business up, it's like, who do I talk to? You know, where am I going? How am I learning how to do that? How did he do that? Well, I don't know. Just don't know him. So, you know, it's create your own environment, and you are in charge of it. You're in charge of your own environment, even down to your missus and your family or your boyfriend or whatever. You are in charge of that, and you can make the decision. It's you can't change your friends, but you can change your friends. Yeah, that's a fact. You know, I mean, I've not had to go, oh, I'm cutting him out, cutting him out. It's just you are who you're around. You know what I mean? You pick them habits up. It's like, you know, you'll know yourself when you've come back from a deployment. when you go around your mum's and you're calling everyone at F and C, and your mum belts you down the ear because you're just used to saying them words, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that comes back to that institutionalization, doesn't it, I guess, and just being around that and in that environment so much, which is so alpha male. And I think when you're part of that at the time, you're probably thinking, you know, especially when you're the younger age, you're like, I'm living the dream here. And then it takes a bit of time and a bit more perspective to be able to look back and go, yeah, you know what? You know, that was a very linear thing. And dare I say it, that toxic masculinity kind of aspect where...
Definitely.
And I think even, you know, it's even weird to say that now, because you probably have other people who are still in that position who would judge someone for saying it, like, and giving it that stigma, like, well, it's being beef and whatnot, like the classic lines that we always had.
Sorry, Ellis. The other thing I would definitely say to a younger me is, and I say this to a lot of people, and it's been a realization for me over the last 2 years, is you can be anything you want. Mm. You can be anything you want, like I said before, but you've got to work hard at it.
Yeah.
You've got to work hard at it. And, you know, it's no one's coming to do it for you. You've got to be your own hero. And I would say that to anyone who's suffering in any way, shape or form with a trauma, with depression, with anxiety, with PTSD. I totally believe in all them things. Believe me, I know all about it because I've sat with it. But what I would say is, if you're sitting there and you're not looking after yourself, if you're not doing the right things, if you're watching shit on the telly, if you're drinking loads of ale, if you're putting other shit inside you, if you're knocking around with idiots, you know, don't start pointing the finger at the world. Because that analogy, a guy called Fraser Quirk showed me this. You can point the finger at the world and go, oh, this is cat, that, but there's always three. Or if you're from Cornwall, it might be an extra one. Pointing back at yourself. No offense to anyone from Cornwall. You know, there's always three pointing back at you. And they've got to be clean. Are you looking after yourself? Are you moving? Are you getting sunlight? Mm. Are you getting your vitamins in? Are you getting your good foods in? Are you connecting with people? You know, because if you're not, you've got to give yourself a fighting chance with these things. You've got to give yourself a fighting chance. You know, win the morning, win the day. I'm out every morning walking. Every morning, it's good for up here for me.
Yeah,
it's the best thing ever. My morning routine has changed my life, and I mean that. It is absolute. That win the morning, win the day. You want to get out of bed 10 minutes before you got to leave, run around the house, kick the dog, spill your coffee. I mean, kick your dog. Don't mean like kick your dog. I mean like fall over your dog. But like spill your coffee, can't find your keys, can't find your phone. Then you're in traffic. Let me out. You got to go, oh, what, indicate? Or, you know, but we do it. Everyone's done it. Or you could just get up an hour earlier, have a bit of time to yourself, get outside, get connected with nature, move, get your body moving, put some good water in you, some vitamins, man. And guess what? I will guarantee you'll have more of a better day. Win your morning, win your day.
100%. I think you've touched on a huge point there, which is, can be a really fine line to walk between being empathetic for someone who's struggling, but then you've got to hold them accountable for their own actions too. And I speak to people countlessly who are like, oh, I just don't feel motivated, or I'm depressed, I feel anxious, I feel like crap. And it's like, okay, well, when was the last time you spent one whole week of eating good food, getting some good exercise, doing something for yourself, something for your business, investing in yourself? When was the last time you spent a full week committing to that? It's like, oh, I've never done that. It's like, well, what do you expect? Like, why wouldn't you be depressed if all you do is fill yourself with something negative? And it's like, why would you expect anything different? You know, it's not how this world works, is it? It's not all sunshine and rainbows, but there's definitely ways to achieve that. And I think that comes down to a mindset, and even things like those win the morning, win the day initiatives are huge and a massive part of my morning routine as well. You know, I commute to work on my bike, living in London now. And I've been a bit unfortunate with bike breaks recently, and I've had to take the tube a few times. And even the difference for me in commuting like that compared to getting out and being active on my bike, I know it's a huge difference throughout the rest of my morning. So yeah, glad to see that this initiative is really getting pushed and taken by so many people. And we touched on it really briefly there, actually, you saying that you were setting up your own business with the coaching. And something that we're actually going to look for the future for you to continue helping people in our community. But do you want to just shed a bit of light on that for a couple of minutes?
Yeah, so I've set a company up called The Performance and Wellbeing Coach, which is on Facebook and Instagram and LinkedIn. And I want to work with individuals, teams, sports teams, general teams and businesses. And I want to talk to them about what they want, because everyone's different. I can't just say, this is what you need to do, because I need to listen. I want to come in and say, okay, Alice, what do you want to do? Okay, I want to run a marathon next year. And I'm using a physical one because it's a lot easier analogy for everyone to think about. And I go, okay, how are we going to, like before I said to you, I always ask the three questions. What do you want to do? How do you want to do it? And when are you going to do it? You know, and people go, well, I'm going to train for it. I go, okay, how are you going to train? Well, I'm going to run. Okay, great. Well, are you going to run a bath? Are you going to run the shop? Or are you, you know, or what? Well, you know, I'll just run every night. Well, okay, how are you going to? And I'm really specific with my sort of silent motto is I don't give advice. I don't think coaches should really give advice. I want to just question and I want to railroad you down ways and get to every little nook and cranny of how you're going to achieve your goals. I want to hear about, you know, and you go, okay, when are you going to start? Tell us, and you turn around and say, okay, I'm going to start next week. And I go, okay, have you got your trainers ready? And you go, I haven't got my trainers. Okay, so you can't start next week. Little things like that. And then when I work with businesses, you know, I'll put a package together. I'll listen to them. They say, okay, we want more team building. Being a PT, I can take people out up to Wales. I've got another guy who I won't mention his name at the moment. And me and him we've put a package together to take people up to Wales for the weekend and do a team building weekend. We've got an option of doing it like SAS Who Dares Wins, or we can have a wellness weekend up there, or we can have something in between where we go, like this afternoon, we're going to do a mission. Mm-hmm. Then we're going to come back and do a workshop and a massage. Then we're going to do some yoga. Then we're going to do a workshop on emotional intelligence. Then we're going to do a leadership workshop. Then we're going to do some paddleboarding, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So we are looking for teams and businesses. We've got a couple of businesses who are looking at taking us up on that offer to get people up and outside the comfort zones and developing their mental robustness and creating a really good team environment.
Yeah, amazing. It's really understated how powerful a weekend like that can be. I think for some of us the majority of us ex-forces have been pushed to those kind of zones. You don't always realize that a lot of people haven't experienced that and going to those levels that the human body rarely goes to. So to be able to experience that, I think it can go as far as changing your whole perspective on, you know, what you're capable of and how powerful is that. Chris, amazing talking to you. Still weird calling you Chris Scouse.
Yeah, isn't it?
Pleasure for having you on, and I'm sure we're going to do a lot more of these. So much for us to talk about. But have you got any kind of final thoughts that you want to leave off with or put out there?
I'd like to say thanks very much for having me on. It's been a pleasure. I'm really looking forward to coming in and taking you up swimming in London, and I will be holding you all accountable to that. And if anyone's got any inquiries or they think that they want to talk to me in any way possible, I'm absolutely open for anyone messaging me, even if it's about well-being, how they are, something they want to work with their team, sports team, business, or as an individual, then I'm more than happy to talk to them.
Yeah, amazing. And I'm sure kind of with our ex-military careers community and with your coaching stuff that you've got going on, we're going to be putting some things together in the future for everyone to keep getting exposure to you and everything that you're doing and bring those opportunities to them. But mate, thanks again. I'm sure we'll be linking up again really soon in the future.
Yeah, thanks very much. Cheers, pal.
Thanks again to Chris for joining us for such an insightful podcast episode, discussing his journey so far with transitioning out of the Navy, the amazing work he's doing with Win the Morning, Win the Day, and how the military, businesses, and the civilian world could do more to support transitioning military personnel. EMC is a social enterprise with a mission to support veterans across the UK and the US throughout the entirety of their transition and civilian careers. At ex-military careers, inclusion is the norm, not the exception. If you would like to discuss strategies on how you can build diverse teams or are interested in having a conversation regarding the current job market, please do reach out to us or visit our website, www.exmilitarycareers.com. If you stand behind inclusion and representing the society we live in, partner with us today. For now, stay connected and we'll speak to you soon.